But I do want us to look at something, no matter what has happened. And that's as much as I'll say right now. I think time is the real test for everything. And we, as Tom said, and I've said it jokingly, but not so much, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm a monarchist, I serve a king. Now, is that really true in my heart? Every time I breathe in and every time I breathe out, and with the days that are getting shorter, I want to make that real. Because my being, my breath, the Word of God says we live and move and have our being in Him. It's not in a party. It's not in an affiliation. It's not in an election. And I wonder at times, and especially this congregation, most of us are getting to that age where the thought process begins to leave us on various times, right? I mean, some it's a little, some it's all the time. We got to start remembering. And if we're going to remember anything right now, it's to remember that God is on His throne. Today's text is going to look at that when Timothy was told by Paul, remember. Remember that word that we had there? Remember and understand. And it's going to be critical in these days to come that we would remember. So I asked us to turn to Daniel 2. We'll just look at 21. No, 18. And this is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You all know that. But I think it applies today as much as it did then. When we inquire things and when we try to remember. And the key point in here, again, is who's on the throne? Who is on the throne? And verse 18 says that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Oh, you know, remember that book that came out? The Secret. It destroyed churches. The secret has been revealed that God Almighty loves you. He wants to speak things to you. He wants to speak things to me. He wants to give us understanding, wisdom. He wants to bring to our remembrance everything He ever promised us. So when that day comes that we stand before Him, we'll bow. And if things are taken at that time, it'll be just, Lord, because You said it. If things are given at that time, I think He'll open our understanding with His word. Don't you recall when I told you this or this? God is on the throne, and that's the point I wanted to make. After some people are ready to just check out, go, move, you know, do whatever. It's not going to change a thing. So my remembrance of who's in charge. So here they desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We're not going to perish. Remember that. We're eternal beings if you're in Christ Jesus. That's something we need to begin to remember. Daniel answered and said in verse 20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Remember that, please. I need to remember it. Wisdom, beyond the world's wisdom, beyond man's wisdom. Every educational system can only bring man's mind to a certain point. And then all of a sudden, we're at a loss, I feel. Only God can explain that. He changes the times in verse 21 and the seasons. He removes kings and He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. Let's remember today as we go into our text, no matter what's happening around us, even to the point of our own personal lives, not on a worldwide view, God is on the throne. And as we're going to hopefully remember today, which I think all of us can attest, you know, I believe that He's alive. We're not serving some statue that sits on a counter somewhere. We're not serving and believing in some ideology. We're not serving and believing in some created thing. We're believing in a living God. He can hear us. He can feel us. He can touch us. He can reach down and hold us in our time of need. No other God can do this. Show me another God that is out there in the realm that can do what our God can. Are we remembering this in the midst of all of our situations and circumstance? So just as a little secret before we waste time, go to Psalm 63, stick something in there if you would, because we're going to go to 2 Timothy, but I know I'm going to go to 63, so I'll even get that ready myself. Psalm 63. And then put something in there. Your neighbor's knee, glasses, or a pen. Let's turn to 2 Timothy now that we've got that ready. 2 Timothy. We looked over the last 2 weeks at this section of scripture with two very important words that we've already started with. Verse 8, remember? Remember. And in verse 14, bring them into remembrance. It was something that really started to jump out at me. Why, God, are you trying to tell us something about remembering? And I hope we get to that today. Remember, a simple word, and like I said, it's something that at our ages that we are becoming, it's harder to remember. Don't you remember? Don't you remember I told you that? Didn't you say it? Don't you remember I told you to clean your room or whatever? It affects us all. I came home last week and Pat said, did you deposit the check? And I said, no. She goes, didn't you remember? I said, well, I remembered, but I stuck it in the visor above the car when I was going to the bank, but I passed the bank and went to the church and couldn't remember why I went here. So I came home and I told JJ, go on home, we're done working. And Pat said, didn't you remember? I wanted JJ to empty all those pots and the flowers. And I didn't remember. So don't be ashamed. It's something that befalls each and every one of us to one degree or another. But remember, the word remember is a verb. It's a verb. Action means something. It's not like that. To remember, it means a verb, it's an action to bring into one's mind someone or something that one has seen or known or experienced. Now, we're going to apply this to ourselves in Jesus Christ, but remember someone. Remember something that he said. Remember someone and something that we've known this. We've experienced this, if you would, in our own personal lives, corporately as a church, individually. We remember God working in our lives, don't we? Think back to the day that you were just like everyone else and I was in this world, an unbeliever headed for death, and God turned the light on of eternal security in him. Do you remember that day? Wasn't it unbelievable? Was there anything that could have stopped you at that point? How we marched through all of the muck and mire, knowing that God is alive. He loves me. He's got plans for me. We lived our lives full force and out loud during that time. And I see something has, the spirit of this age or whatever, has come down and at least quieted us a little bit, calmed us a little bit, maybe even caused us to forget that someone that we have seen and we've known and we've actually experienced in our own life. So today, that key word is going to be remember, and I want us all to remember that we serve a living God, a living God. The answer to every question, the answer to every doubt, the answer to every fear that you might have, he's got it all. Remember when we were little kids, he's got the whole world in his hand, but he's not crushing it, okay? He's got a whole world. He's got you, Ma, me, you, Shannon, Jenny, Jake, Lauren. He's just, every day, he looks at us, he sees us, he knows our hurts, he knows our hearts. His thoughts towards us are more than the sand in the sea, more than the sky has stars to shine at night. Those are his thoughts to us. Let's remember that. Wait a minute. There's no despair right now, is there? Oh, it's real. Let's not just cloud those things out. Yes, but don't let it overtake us, whatever it might be. We've got a living God that's got a plan for each and every one of us, and that plan eventually is to leave this, whatever it might be in your case, and be with Him eternally, where none of these problems, health and wealth and, you know, family and angers and drug addictions and habits, and none of it's going to happen. It's gone. We're looking for that day, I hope and pray. 2 Timothy 2. We're going to be looking at 14. Again, he tells us about remembering. He tells Timothy, put your hearers in remembrance of these things. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker or gangrene or a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. It's going to be a key point today, the resurrection. Have we forgotten that? When everything hits us, and the problems of this life assail us, have we forgotten the living God that we serve? Have we forgotten His promise of a resurrection? Nevertheless, verse 19, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Father God, open our understanding. Help us to remember, Father. We all know these things. Like I said, time and circumstance just seems to just crowd in on us. Scream so loud that we miss that still small voice, still calling to us, still saying, be calm, be quiet, be still and know that I'm God. So Lord, help us get back to that point in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we back up into verse 8, you know, that first remember. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember, He's alive. Pretty simple, isn't it? But in the midst of something going on, guaranteed this week when it oversails me, when it just wants to push me down, I guarantee you I'm not going to say, yeah, but God is alive. Not first. Everything else is going to come in and overpower and swamp waves, billows, everything. But what I have to do is remember, God is alive. I'm His child. He remembers me. He knows my hurt. He's going to answer me. He's going to be like that deer that just leaps over mountains in His words to come to me. As long as my heart pants for Him, like that deer pants for water. So the first thing we have to do is remember that He is alive. A living, a risen Savior. I'd ask you in the essence of time, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to read, I wanted to read that whole chapter, but you read it. It talks about if Christ isn't alive, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? There's no sense in it. If Christ hasn't been resurrected, if Christ isn't alive, then our faith is in vain. And if He's not alive, we're not going to be alive. And if He's not alive, and this resurrection that Paul is telling Timothy and the Holy Spirit is begging us, remember this, don't forget it, it's critical. Then my brother, my mother, my daughter, our daughter, excuse me, your husband, your whoever has passed, there is no hope. There's nothing. I don't want to believe that. This world is hard enough to walk through every day. But if I can think that one day, and one day very soon, my Lord and Savior is going to return for me because He promised, because He's alive and He's not dead, I am going to be reunited with everybody that sat in these chairs that has passed on. Amen. How can we forget this? How can we forget this? And we do, because all the other things just scream for the allegiance, don't they? Oh, excuse me. Job 19. Remember that I took this out because I wanted to remember it. I'm going to probably forget it. Psalm 63. But right now we're going to go to Job 19. Because I'm talking about a God that's alive, a God that's real, a God that knows you and I, right? Job 19, verse 25. And today, when you leave here, if you remember anything, I'd ask you to answer this question with your heart. Not just, well, yeah, you know, in theory. Verse 25 says, and this is the psalmist. Who revealed this? What we're going to read in a minute. Who revealed this to him? I was thinking, well, of course, though. I was just like, you know, did somebody just throw this out to him? He's talking about the resurrection. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Who's your Redeemer? That's a kinsman redeemer. It's an old Hebrew word that was used in there. I think it's gahal. How do you say that? Gahal. Gahal. With the gahal rally. It's a Hebrew word for kinsman redeemer. And here is Job. Before any knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as his kinsman, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Doug, I mean, I sat there and I'm saying, I know this, but the things of this world at times have robbed this from me. Robbed this from me, and I let it. And even, you know, that's humanness, you can say. But when I sit there and say, am I really going to see my girl again? Am I really going to see my brother again? And I question it. Do I really know that my Redeemer lives? Otherwise, that wouldn't even be a question. And I'd ask us, do you and I, do we know that our Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth?
Amen.
Hokey moly.
You should get excited.
You know, I'm trying. This isn't some pie-in-the-sky theology. It's not, well, if you believe you're going to go to Nirvana, you're going to go to this one, you're going to go that way, or, you know, maybe heaven if you... He's going to be here on earth, my Redeemer, your Redeemer. Have we forgotten this? And that's why Paul was telling Timothy, remind your hearers of the resurrection. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, every translation says it, not in my spirit, but in my being is what he's saying. I will see God. Yeah. Who cares who won?
Amen.
I'm going to see God. He's going to feed me something. He knows what I like, so I know what he's got prepared for me.
Oh,
you know? Although that is a theological question that my great-granddaughter just brought up. This isn't rude. She's 4 years old, and she called and asked, when we get to heaven, will we have to go to the bathroom? So if anybody's got a child answer for that, give it to me, please. Think on this. Think about what we just read. Don't let whatever's going on right now, whatever it might be. Oh, Deuteronomy 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I think in the Hebrew that means that my reins are earnestly desiring him all day, is the force of the Hebrew of that verse, Ma. Is that my desire? Do I first believe that my Redeemer lives? And is it my desire all day long to be with him, to see him, to hear him, to touch him, to feel him, to sit down and have him just quench every worry that you and I have ever had? This is what we have to remember. Back to Timothy, if you would. In verse 14, where we would be starting normally today, it says again, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Of these things, put them in remembrance. So what things? Well, the things, again, are what we read, verses 11 through 13 last week, those things and the things that are to come. So here's something that for whatever the reason might be, God is saying to at least Doug in his simple mind, remember these things. Okay, Lord, what things? because we probably already forgot a little bit. But I think 11 through 13 is so necessary in my life, number one, and the life of somebody else that you're going to speak to that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 11's, remember what? Well, remember, this is a faithful saying. If we're dead with him, we're going to reign with him, live with him. Wow. Have I forgotten that? Being dead with Christ, you're in Christ. You died to the old man. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Doesn't literally, and it does mean if we die too, we're going to live with him. Have I forgotten that? Make sure that I tell that to myself every day, and then be sure that that's part of our witness to people. Not you better stop doing this and you better quit doing that. And if you keep doing that, God's going to be mad at you. And oh, you know, just start telling people. If we die to ourselves, if we are in him, we're going to live forever. First point of witnessing. If we suffer, and all of us want to get out of suffering, I don't like it, neither do you. But it's part of the gift that God has given us. It says it's been given to us not only to suffer with, you know, to believe, but to suffer with Christ. So if we suffer righteously, you know, we can still grumble a little bit about some of the things we go through, but we're supposed to take it. Put on our big boy pants and girls and get moving, move forward. Christ is coming back. Amen. We're going to be with him. Amen. So we suffer a little bit right now. This is the slight affliction, the word says, is but for a moment. So if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. Here's what we have to say in our witness too, though, which we don't like. If we deny him, he will deny us. Mm. So when you, well, I don't believe that stuff. Well, that's your personal bent. That's your privilege, but he's going to deny you on the day of judgment. We have to get that word out. If we serve a living God, who we believe we're going to stand before one day. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, look at, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he can't deny himself. Whether you believe that or not, it doesn't make a difference in eternity. So this is something that you and I also have to remember. He adds in 14b, stop striving about words to no profit. Boy, aren't we good at that? Aren't we, the what ifs, the what abouts, how come, what, you know, building up a straw man, knocking that one down, build up another one. In the time that we're in and what's going on around us and the lives that are spinning into eternity without Jesus Christ, we need to stop striving about words that have no profit. So what are those words that are no profit? You know, gossip, rumors, criticisms, non-essentials. Is the pygmy going to be in heaven? You know, to a degree, I think that's a non-essential. That poor pygmy has been hit with the gospel more than any American ever has, probably. He's going to be in heaven. Let's buy that. Get on with it. Let's stop doing all the trivialities, all the things that we create, and even to that point, and especially to that point, of gossip, divisions, rumors, criticisms. Because if we're doing that, as that word says in 14, all it does is subverts the hearers. People hear us. They hear us yelling at each other in the supermarket. They hear us yelling at the house next door if you're live that close to somebody. They hear our children repeat what we have said. So the Lord's saying, stop striving. Remember that. Because if I'm heard negatively, whatever it might be, where does that put the unbeliever? Is that why I want to believe in your God? So I can be like you? You know, Tom and I feared one day we became like our fathers, you know. But that's what they're looking at. Do I want to listen to you if that's what comes out of your God's mouth or he instructs you to do? So another thing for us to remember, wherever, whether it's here in the church, our families, our workplaces, we need to stop striving. Watch our words. Turn to Galatians 5, if you would. I don't know if anybody ever had somebody. We don't do this much anymore, but you know, there used to be a time when in front of a woman, if curses were thrown out, I can remember my dad had a fairly foul mouth. Hard to believe, you know, for a good Irish street-dwelling kind of a guy. But all that would come out of his is, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. And I think that's something we need to hear a little bit more, because we're talking about these words to no profit. Even if we get in an argument today about what's going to happen to our world now that so-and-so's it, we don't know what's going to happen. We can only assume. So watch our mouth, watch our lips. Galatians 5, verse 15. Did I forget that he said this to me? Maybe. It says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. God forbid that that should be named in here, that we start to gossip, criticize, no effect, each other, bad mouth, whatever it might be. Because God's promise, don't forget this, Doug, again, remember, if we do that, having the knowledge of him saying don't, we're going to bite, that's God, right? Just talking on each other, we're going to devour one another, we no longer will be. That's scary to me. Watch my lips, watch my lips. So how do I better myself in this discipline? You know, back to Timothy, if you would. I know I'm jumping around a lot. I hope you're taking notes, too, because please don't let my words on Sunday morning be your theology, please. Write these. Why does God have me in this? Well, I'm trying to find that out, all these little side trails. But if you and I meditate on this, if we think on these scriptures and then we apply them to our lives, can you imagine? Can you imagine just some of the stress that could be relieved from us? And I think that's what he wants for each and every one of us today. So how do I discipline myself in these things? Remembering about the resurrection. Remember that Christ is alive. Remember that I'm going to live forever with him. Remember that the person I talk to, if you deny him, don't say, oh, well, you know, nice talking to you. Let's tell him you got an eternity of separation. We need to remember those things. We need to remember, as it says in 14, not to... just to watch our lips. What else does he tell us? Not much, but I always wonder, well, how do I do that? Don't you, when Doug says to do something, or anybody does, don't you want to know how to do it? Or do we just go about it our own way, which a lot of us do? Well, I can do that better than what he's saying. And I think we do that with the word sometimes. God is telling us how to discipline myself, at least, in these things that he wants me to remember. And it's study. Study, Doug. How often is this picked up, taken off of whatever shelf it might be, or remembered that it was left in the pew last Sunday? Or, and I've had days where Pat, where's my Bible? Where did I leave it last? Maybe I took it out to the car. Maybe I brought it on a Wednesday night. I got in a hurry and everything. Study. This has got to be at our fingertips every single day from this day forward until we just stand face to face with him. Study to show yourself approved unto God first. Why? You know, I feel like there's going to be times that God might say, didn't you read the book? You know, I gave it to you. Why are you marveling? Why are you questioning this? Why are you saying I didn't know? He's telling us, remember this, study. Study. Not only read, but apply it. That word means to make every effort to absorb it. It's not just, oh, I can study. You know, you can read this all day long and not consume any of it. Just words on a page. But now he's saying to look at this, to start to apply it into my life. Stick to God's word. What happens if not? Verse 16, 17, 18. You've got this little crew that are bad examples, not remembering what they've learned. And the one thing that Paul was trying to tell Timothy was that, remind them about the resurrection. Remember how we started this. And a living God that all that goes to. If we forget this, we start to turn into like these. We don't know much about Hymenaeus and Philetus. They said the resurrection was already past, is what they did. Dangerous. Dangerous. Because it says it overthrew the faith of some. made it shipwrecked. Do you believe, as we just read, that as the psalmist said, I believe my Redeemer lives? You know, and it's not just up there. God is living. Do you believe this, Doug? God is living in me. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, I could see him, you know, when Betty Mosh used to be here, we all said we could see him living in Betty Mosh, but not me. So when I walk down the street, God is not only with me in a surrounding sphere, God is in me through his Holy Spirit, by the word of Jesus Christ, who's alive. And he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. Well, the comforter isn't, you don't have to look for him. He's in here. Did I forget that again? And I probably have. I forgot where I was even going.
Psalm 63.
I was talking about the resurrection being passed. I wanted to go to this that I stuffed in 63. Remember. It's our topic. I'll keep saying it because that's how you bring things to remembrance, right? The resurrection has not passed. We're all waiting for that. These guys might have said, well, you know, it was a spiritual resurrection when you were born again, when you left that old life and you became a Christian and you accepted Christ as your Savior. That was a new resurrection. It goes way beyond that. The resurrection is critical to each of us in here today. Hamilton Smith is this commentator that I looked at, and he said this: if the resurrection is past already, commenting on these two guys, it's evident that the saints have reached their final condition while yet here on earth. I hope not. Whew, is that how important it is to remember the resurrection? This is it. This is as good as it gets, is what those two guys are saying, with the result that the church ceases to look for the coming of the Lord. Are we there? Pulpit after pulpit after watch it, preachers are backing up on the resurrection of the redemption of God's people through the rapture of the church. They'll argue whether it's pre, mid, or post. We don't know, but he is coming for each and every one of us. And if we lose the resurrection, if we lose the remembrance of these things, what he's saying, we cease to look for his coming. God forbid. We lose the truth of our heavenly destiny. There's no resurrection for you. Where are you going? You know, you die, your worms eat you, and that's the end of it. I don't want to believe that, do you? Not a bit. We lose the truth about our heavenly destiny, and the church gives up its stranger and pilgrim character. Did I forget that I am a stranger and pilgrim? You bet. Because I'm digging in, trying to make it a little more comfortable. Nothing wrong with comfort. Nothing wrong with the things that God gives to us, but don't make them your focus. We are strangers and pilgrims. When you and I leave here, all that stuff that we worked and worked and worked is going to be nothing but dead people's stuff to somebody who's left. That's all it's going to be. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm passing through, and I'm going to be going real soon. Having lost its heavenly character, the church settles down on earth, taking a place as part of the system for reformation and the government of the world. Is that what you want? I don't think, you know, if anybody says, oh, that's your, that to me jumped off the pages. And it happens so simply with not remembering.
How long ago did he write that?
Did he write it? I'll have to look at that. I just read it last night.
Okay.
Finally, brethren, it might look a little bit dour. It might look a little bit, what's the sense? Why should I strive? Why should I keep going? What's the sense in all of this? And I feel 19, and what we're going to take an extra few minutes to see, I hope answers those questions. The reason why we're to remember, the reason why we're to study and not have our words rule us the way they have, and why we're going to remember that we serve a living Christ is because in 19 it says, nevertheless, all that stuff, all the things that are going on around us, nevertheless, the foundation of God, the foundation of God, what is that? Is it the church? Is it his word? Is it what? I think it's whatever God has laid as his foundation. It's standing sure. It's not going to be moved. It's not going to be changed. But the word says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, signet. And then this is, he owns this. He can prove this. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. He knows you. He knows me. He knows my getting up. He knows my going down. He knows my thoughts. He knows my fears. He knows my doubts. He knows my cries. He knows your tears. He saves them in a bottle. Nevertheless, whatever just happened in our world, wherever we are right now in our walk with our Savior, if we've kind of squandered some time, if we know we have in things that we should not be in, don't forget the fact that God knows those that are his. And his promises to us are he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. The work that he started in us, he's going to finish that work. No matter what we think about it, he's going to bring us to that completion the day he brings us out of here. That's God's sovereignty. Only he can do that one. Man's responsibility, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember that one. Remember that when all of a sudden you're overtaken in something. Remember that my Lord said to me on Sunday morning, whatever today is, what's today, the 9th?
8th.
He told me to depart from iniquity. That scares me because I'm responsible. And now that I've shared it with you in my love for you, you're responsible. Good grief. How can we ever forget some of these things? God has a plan for us. He's not done yet with either one of us. He loves us. He's alive and living. Hey, I never did Psalm 63, did I? When should I remember these things? Let's see what it says in there. Remember these only when we're in trouble? Boy, wasn't that you? Maybe at one point, maybe it still is. It's not until you get caught red-handed with your hand in the cookie jar that it's, oh, Lord, get me out of this, and I promise you, I'll pray, I'll go to Wednesday night, I'll go to Craig's study, When should I remember all the things about the resurrection and my God being alive and how much he's promised me? And again, I think that the psalmist gives us a pretty cut and dry answer. Not just when things are bad, not just when I have a little extra time on my hands. Oh, there's nothing on TV, maybe I'll do this. Psalm 63 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Oh, so when do I start remembering them? First thing in the morning, early. Maybe those times at 3:30, 4 o'clock, when we wake up from our sleep and wonder, why am I awake again? Maybe God wants to talk to me. Maybe God wants you to talk to him. So early in the morning will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, not just to get me out of something, but I want to see you, Lord. So, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So early in the morning, all day as I go about my business. And verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, at night, that's the end of the day. So when am I supposed to remember this? All day long. This should overpower every one of our thoughts, and especially when I lay my head on the bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. God loves you. Darren, I'm going to ask everybody for 5 more minutes. I think this is for me. This is for me to remember, but there's somebody in here that you haven't released your whole being to Jesus Christ. As profession, as assent of, yeah, I believe this is all true, but I'm talking about have we surrendered to the truth that we're going to see here, to a loving God. So I don't know, let's see how it hits you the way it hit me.
Your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Peace, please. You can Google that one. Is that how they do it, Darren? YouTube or Google or something. Father's love letter. Just remember him this week as we go about our daily lives. And God bless you. That's all I've got. No, we've got carrot cake. Let them eat cake.
And mango sugar.
And mango.